Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Teen takeover service. I hope you enjoyed our teen choir. And so what we're going to do is we're going to welcome you. Gustavo is going to make his way down. He's going to pray for our service. And once he prays, I'm going to turn it over to the teenagers. They've worked hard on this, and we're looking forward to hearing them preach. They just sang. We're going to have some specials, and they're going to do everything tonight. So Gustavo, come pray for the service.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving us a place where we can come and worship you, Lord. I pray that you will bless this message, Lord, as it speaks to our heart, Lord. Please pray that it will be a blessing to each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. If you please stand with me, we're going ahead and sing Victory in Jesus, page 341 in your hymnals. On the first, I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my blood is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. On the second, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. Now he made the lame to the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Sing it out. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Great singing, guys. So welcome to First Baptist Church this evening. Why don't you go turn around, shake somebody's hand, and welcome to First Baptist Church. Amen. While you make your way back to your places, we're going to sing the last verse of Victory in Jesus. All together on the last. I heard an old, well then, he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. While you remain standing, turn your hymnals to 463 when the roll is called up yonder. All together on the first. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. 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 On the second, on the bright and cloudless morning, when the time of night shall ride and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last, let us labor for the master from the drum. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all the life is over and our work is on the done, then the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
At this time, we'll be presenting a brief video on the last three teen activities we've had. First, the glow-in-the-dark dodgeball. Second, the teen youth rally. And third, the teen beach cookout. Go ahead and play the video, please.
Thank you.
That was a good video. Oh, okay. Here are the announcements for today. Today there is a children worker meeting after the service in the large parlor. If you work with our children's during the Sunday school hour, please attend this brief but important meeting. There is a Soldier of the Cross men's meeting on November 3rd through 4th. Tonight is the deadline to sign up and pay. If you're interested in going, please sign up in the at the Welcome Center or just see Brother Ralph. Yeah. Food Truck Sunday is on November 12th. We will be having an early evening at 12:30. We will be buying all of our veterans in attendance lunch that day. At this time, I'd like to ask our gentlemen to make ready to receive our offering. As they make ready, we will hear a special from Trovy and Ace. Once they are finished, Josh will come preach from Matthew 14. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to assemble here today to hear a song and some good preaching. Please help Josh as he's going to come preach. Please bless him and just not to be nervous. And please help Israelis open our hearts and his message to speak to us. And in Jesus' name, amen.
You never change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess that you're always enough for me. You're all I need. I look to you. I see the scars upon your hands and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess that you're always enough for me. You're all I need. Jesus, in your suffering, you were reaching. You thought of me. Jesus, in your suffering, you were reaching. You thought of me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess that you're always enough for me. You're all I need.
In love, isn't it? Very cool. It's an inside joke, I'm sorry. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew 14. And if you will, please stand for the reading of God's word. So to bring you to speed what's happening in the chapter so far, Herod ordered that John Baptist's head was to be cut off. And he did this to please his brother Philip's wife. And his daughter said, it was at Herod's birthday, and Herod's daughter was pleasing Herod, and Herod said, I'll give you whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. And his daughter said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And she did this because it was her mother's command. And another thing that happened in this chapter was the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, and he went out to the desert. He mourned the loss of his friend, and a great multitude came unto him, and Jesus was moved with compassion. He preached to the multitude, and he was preaching there for a while, and his disciples said, send them to the city so that way they can get their food. And Jesus said, well, why do we need to send them there? We have food here. And the disciples said, we only have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, give them to me. And he fed 5,000 there. And that truly is an amazing work, and I'm pretty sure Jesus can do amazing works in our lives if we just trust in him. And if you're there, let's look at verse 22, and it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for that you gave to us, our God. Thank you for allowing me to come here and speak your word. Be calm my nerves right now, Lord God. I'm kind of nervous, but please help me, Lord God. And please help me speak your words, not mine only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. Now sit. So, my cousin Gerald was at Canada a couple years ago. And if any of you know Gerald, you know he isn't a think before you act type of guy. And we were out paddleboarding, and he had his board and his oar, and he threw them in the water. And they started floating away from him. And Gerald, not knowing how deep the water was, jumped in there. And all you heard was a splash, and all you heard him say was like, ah! It hurt! Because the water went about like waist deep. Nobody laughed. All right, and Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000, and he sent the multitudes away. And he commanded his disciples to go to the other side, which is the land of Gennesaret. His disciples, being obedient, obeyed immediately. They expected it to be an easy job, just go to the other side. But what they didn't expect was a storm. Sometimes, we don't always expect the storm to come in our lives. So, I'm going to give you 4 points of how or what we should do when storms come in our lives. First point is, we must be obedient to God's word. The disciples were normal fishermen before Jesus called them, and they probably lived easy lives too. But as we see here, they were obedient. They obeyed Christ's word, go to the other side. And sometimes being obedient will not always be easy. In verse 24, it says, they were now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The waves were high and rough, and the wind was in their face, and they could have easily turned around, but they didn't, because they had a desire to obey God's word. They were persistent. They wanted to complete Christ's task. And sometimes Christ will lead you to a storm. Not all storms, trials, and difficulties are results in your life. And a good example of this is the life of Job. God said to Satan, well, take Job here. He pleases me. He loves me. He'll never condemn my name. And Satan took away everything that Job had, but Job didn't use God's name in vain. He still said, blessed be the name of the Lord, even when the storm came in his life. And sometimes being obedient will not always be easy. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that already. Being obedient doesn't always make sense. look at what Jesus did when he fed 5,000. Disciples were confused. It didn't make sense for them to feed 5,000. Sometimes it doesn't make sense for us to do God's will. Think of faith promises. It doesn't always make sense to help someone you don't know, but the Holy Spirit is working inside you to help somebody to do God's will. And another good one is Lazarus. I'm sorry, I'm really scared. Where was I? Jesus commanded people to open the tomb of Lazarus, and they were probably confused. Why do we need to open the tomb of a dead person? But when they did open the tomb, what they got out of that unusual thing was their friend Lazarus back. Sometimes when we do the will of God, it may be an unusual thing, but what we do get is awesome things from Christ. And my second point is, we should be calmed by Christ's word. Look at verse 26 to 27. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is the Spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." So, imagine being in a boat with a couple of friends at 4 in the morning, and then out of nowhere you see a person walking towards you. My reaction would be, "Oh my goodness, the guy right there walking in the water!" Right? That'd be all of our reactions. But another thing is, have you ever been so scared that you felt the sweat coming down your forehead, your hands started shaking, your voice is all shaky? I have, when Brother Michael asked me to preach. The disciples were afraid of the storm, yes, but I believe that they were more afraid of ghosts walking towards them. And the disciples were also comforted. The Bible says that when the disciples saw him, they were afraid. But when Jesus spoke to them, he spoke to them using only a few words, or one word. If disciples are comforted with Jesus' word, don't you think we can be comforted as well? We may not have Jesus' spoken word, but we do have God's word right here. And the storm that they went through, it made them fear, but Jesus spoke a few words that comforted them. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Just like Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I," God's word said that he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in Romans 8:37, it says, "We are more than conquerors to him that loved us." If we're more than conquerors to Jesus, Jesus can easily take away the storm in our life. And my third point is, we should have confidence in Christ's word. Peter had a request, and in verse 28, it says, Peter said, "If it be thou, bid me to come to you in the water." So Peter prayed. He asked Jesus for something. Sometimes when we pray, we ask Jesus to do big miracles in our lives to help us or to calm us down when we're afraid. And back then, the disciples had Jesus' spoken word, as I said before, but we still have God's word to calm us down. And Peter had faith. In verse 29, Jesus answered Peter's request with one simple word, "Come." He answered his request in the most simple way imaginable. Peter had applied a lot of faith that Christ would protect him. Now the real question is, where are we putting our faith? Peter did not put his faith in himself to walk in the water. He had put his faith in Christ that he would allow him to walk in the water. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Peter cannot do it himself. He had to put his faith in Christ to walk in the water. And Peter also doubted. In verse 30, "Saw the wind boisterous, and beginning to fear, he began to sink. Now, we have to give credit to Peter for walking in the water. That takes a lot of guts, but he also doubted still. And do you ever doubt Christ's word? I myself was scared to preach today, but Christ has a way to answer our requests. This week at our school, we had a school revival, and the speaker really spoke to me. He said that the way our Christian life should be lived is, I should be 0 and Christ should be 100. I can't do this by myself, but if I give Christ 100% of my life, he will help me to do this task. And in all recorded history, only two men ever walked on water, Jesus and Peter. But Peter's faith was challenged when he saw the wind, that is, when he saw its effects on the water. Our faith is challenged all the time when storms come in our life. It's just we have to really trust in Jesus that he'll help us out. And my last point is, we should have faith in Christ's word. Jesus stops the storm. In verse 32, we see that Jesus did not even say anything and the storm ceased. If Jesus stopped the storm without even saying anything, don't you think that Jesus could easily stop our storms too? Storms can be anything we face in our lives. We just have to believe in Christ that he can seize the storms. And the disciples also realized, in verse 33, the disciples realized that Jesus can do anything. He fed the 5,000, he walked in the water, and he saw the storm, and they saw many other miracles that he did. And Jesus can do miraculous things in our lives if we just realize that he can calm the storm, our storms. And in conclusion, what are you doing when storms come in your life? Or who are you putting your faith in? Disciples trusted Jesus to calm their storms. Are you? Thank you.
for that, Josh. I really appreciate you working hard on that, and I hope that was a help to you. I really appreciate that. It was straight from the Word of God. You could get it right there from the text. He said we should be obeying God's Word, obey Christ's Word. And then we should also, when we're going through trials, let God's Word calm our hearts. And then, just like Peter, we should have confidence in Christ's Word. When Christ tells you to do something, we should do it. But also, we have His written Word, and we can have confidence that what He says is true, and we can trust Him and have faith in Him in the midst of our storms. And thank you so much for that, Josh. I'm really proud of you. You did a great job. You may have been a little nervous, but you did a great job. I really appreciate that. All right. So what we're going to do now is Ace is going to come lead us. So if you'll stand and turn your hymnals to hymn number 50, we'll sing "There Is Power in the Blood." And then as soon as we're done with that next song, our next preacher is going to come up, and that's going to be Ethan. So have your Bibles and your hearts ready. After this song, Ethan will come preach.
Amen. All together in the first.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Did you behold victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood
on the last.
Would you return from the sermons? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood on the third.
Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the last,
would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Good morning. I mean, good evening, or buenas noches. It's for my Spanish teacher, Mr. Mehta. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25? We're starting in verse number 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded them with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it into the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he had that had received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I not sowed, and gatherest where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, which is like a bank. And then at my own coming, I should have received mine own usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken and away even that which he hath. And cast ye unto the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in this story, there are 3 servants and 1 master. The master gave them all different amount of talents. What? Oh yeah, you guys may be seated. In this story, there are 3 servants and 1 master. The master gave them all different amount of talents. This story is about the master, who can also be seen as Jesus. In this way, that he was about to receive a kingdom, and he's the giver of gifts, which we see in Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Jesus is also seen by the master by coming again to receive his servants. Also in this passage, we see 3 servants, and that's what I'd like to talk to you guys about today. Point number 1, we see the ability given. Everything you have is a gift from God. Like, even that we woke up today, some of you still aren't awake yet, but we'll get there. And the fact that we have food to eat or water to drink, these are a few of the easy-to-spot gifts that God gives us. Not everyone has the same opportunity. What we mean by that is some people are called or given abilities to do different things, but we should all do something for the Lord. Everything is given us by God. Everything given to us is a gift from God, but you should not waste that gift. Use the gift for God for spiritual profit. Jesus is teaching us that we will be held accountable for what we do with what we have been given. Point number 2, we see there's 2 kinds of servants, the worthless servant and the worthy servant. The worthy servants are the ones that use their gifts for God and for good. The worthless ones that didn't use their God for good. They didn't use it, so they will lose it. Jesus here is teaching us not to waste our lives. Don't waste your life. Yes, some of us might still go to heaven, but our rewards would be minimal. I want to do a good job with the life that the Lord has given me. Do you? Jesus wants our lives to count. He wants our lives to make a difference. He wants our lives to be a good investment. He wants us to be good stewards with our opportunities individually, with our family, and collectively with the church that he's given to us. So what's the difference between the worthy and the worthless? That brings us to our point number 3, activity that made the difference. Let's just focus on the worthy real fast. The worthy are defined with these ideas. They were faithful. You can see that in verse 21 and 23. We should work at being faithful in everything we do. Things like Bible reading, giving tithes, attending church, prayer, witnessing. Those are just a couple of Christian disciplines that we should be faithful in. If we want to be worthy, we should work at being faithful even over the things that seem small or insignificant. The faithful servants were also risky. Think about it. They used their talents, which means they could have lost money. And when the master returned, they would have less than what they started with. I think the Lord is teaching us that risk is good. Risk is good when it comes to the giving of the gospel with someone or even a mission work. Or even risky to stand in front of a group of people and teach them God's word. I'm feeling that kind of riskiness right now. Risk means stepping out of your comfort zone. Sometimes we focus only on staying comfortable, which won't work when the master returns. The comfortable servant is the worthless servant. The risky and the faithful servant is the worthy. So ability, accountability, and activity helps us understand our gifts that God has given us. I have a little illustration, and I need Jesse to come and help me. This rope right here represents eternity. Let's pretend that this rope stretches on forever. Can you just walk that down the aisle? Let's pretend that this rope is eternity. It will go well past. Let's pretend that it goes well past the church property. This little tape part is our life in on earth. We should right now use our gifts that God gave us for eternity. Worthless servants never think about eternity. They only live in the now. Worthy servants live right now for eternity by being faithful and risking everything for Jesus' sake. How are you living your life today? Worthy or worthless? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us another day of life, Lord. Thank you for letting us preach, Lord. Please help us to have a great rest of the night, Lord. Thank you for giving us this time, I pray. Amen.
Great job, Ethan. I like that illustration there at the end. What are you spending your time doing? He showed that illustration, so he pretended that it went all the way past the church. And you got that rope there, represents all of eternity. You just had that just little window of time that we're here on earth. And what are you doing with that time that God has given you? What are you doing with the abilities that God has given you? We heard two awesome messages from God's Word tonight. I hope that you've been blessed by them. And so did you have any words that you want to say? Okay. All right. So that concludes our service tonight. I'm going to go give you a quick crash course of our announcements that Nathaniel covered, and then we're going to do Pastor's Candy Line. And so there is going to be a very brief children workers meeting. If you work in Sunday school, whether as a teacher or a worker, if you could go to the large parlor as soon as we dismiss. Brother Raphael has just a few announcements that he would like to give you. And so as soon as we dismiss, head right over there to that class. And then also on November the 12th is going to be our Veterans Day service. That's going to also be Food Truck Sunday. And so plan to be there for that. So we'll have our food trucks right after the morning service. And then we'll have an early evening service at 2:30. So we'll go out, we'll eat some at the food trucks, come in for our children's veterans program from our Christian school. And so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be an awesome day. Plan to be here for that. And don't forget about the meeting tonight after service. If you're planning to go to the Soldier of the Cross men's meeting, tonight is the deadline to sign up and pay. If you need to do that, stop by the Welcome Center and take care of that. And so we're going to stand for dismissal. We'll pray. If you're sixth grade and under, you can go ahead and make your way over here to get a piece of candy from Pastor's Candy Line. And once again, thank you for being here tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for each teenager that preach. And Lord, I pray that we take the messages that we heard, apply them to our hearts and our lives, and I pray we'd be closer to you for it. Give us safety as we travel home. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.